Bert Wheeler, Reel 8. What were your duties at this time?
I was still stretching my arm. Covering with the company. Casualties as they occurred.
And what type of casualties would you be dealing with?
Mainly sickness. There wasn't so much shrapnel wounds or anything like that. It was mainly sickness occurring through the jungle. It could be anything that we were coming up to now, typhus. And other tropical diseases which we've never met before.
How would they manifest themselves? How would they manifest themselves? How would you know it was typhus?
You didn't until you had tests, mainly blood tests, which were carried out further down the line. But the main thing was a rise in temperature, feverish, and anything like that, you immediately sent to the doctor.
Are there any other symptoms that you get with typhus?
What was the main symptom? I think it was a shaking more than anything. You just couldn't control yourself.
And were the casualties heavy from disease?
No, not very. Not so bad as they had been through normal shrapnel wounds and things like that.
And you mentioned off the record an incident where you evacuated a casualty over a long distance.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
We'd been on patrol, and one chap had, I think he had fallen and broken his leg. It wasn't a casualty caused by fighting. And the only way to get him back was to give him the fireman's lift. And luckily for me, that particular one was a reasonably light chap. If it had been anybody like John Harmon, well, I don't know if I'd have managed it, but this one was a small chap. And I was able to get him back. If you'd been a big one, well, probably I would have had left him there.
How far did you carry him?
I think it's something like 4 to 5 miles, which was well, by the time we got back to base, I don't know who was worse off, it was me.
How long did that take you to carry him back?
That I think was something about 3 hours. Having had numerous halts.
How far could you carry him before you needed a halt?
To start with, it was short distances. So I was starting to get used to him and got him settled into a reasonable position. Which makes it much certain positions where they're not very easy to carry. But if you can pick the right position, which you did in the end, then you can make a fairly long journey of it, maybe half a mile without a break.
And were you with the rest of the patrol?
I was with the rest of the patrol, and I was well covered by the
Did any other incidents occur on patrols?
I can't recall anything else happening. I didn't have any struggle or anything like that.
So
there is one thing I forgot to mention at Kabira. While I was on the walking wounded side of it, I went to the toilet one day, which was just a trench with a pole put across. I was sitting there minding my own business, and the sniper opened fire. And he hit me on the boot, and it went through the well of the boot, which I consider myself then being lucky.
So you were continuing to advance southwards towards Rangoon?
Yes.
And were there any other incidents that you can remember during that advance southward that stand out particularly?
The only other incident I remember was walking through Chong's and never getting wet, never getting dry again. Apart from that, or nothing, I can't recall anything.
Were you advancing through the monsoon?
Yes. We were the first troops to advance and fight during the monsoon. The previous monsoons, everybody stood down and just normal defensive at the time, but in 1944, they decided that you will fight through everything, and so therefore we had to go through the monsoon, and you would never dry.
Did that create many problems?
Not at that particular time, I don't think. But, problems have come later in the years, as I mentioned earlier.
Was it difficult? Were conditions difficult underfoot?
Yes. Especially the slipping and sliding. If you were climbing a hill, you would one step forward, two step back.
Were there many injuries caused?
Not through that. Not in jelly way. The biggest problem, which I've mentioned before, was would be mules. Carrying your panniers up the hill, and they just couldn't get a grip. So in the end, you had to carry the panniers yourself, and let the mules just follow on when they could, and reload them when you got to a suitable position.
And did you use the mules on all the way through the campaign?
Yes. Yes. Right the way through. From the time we left Invel, right the way through to Rangoon, we had the company of mules with us.
Did you take part in the fighting at Rangoon?
No. Distance, I think it's somewhere around about 15 miles from Rangoon when the town was actually captured, I think, from the sea. I think it's a nanny which Captain Brand gave me. We were probably a week away before we got in there.
So what happened at Rangoon?
Once we were in Rangoon, we were given duties. Our battalion duties, I think if I remember right, is guarding Rangoon Prison, which we were very few Japs in the prison, but they were mainly
Indian National Army?
Rebellious Sikhs who joined the Japanese Army, and I think most of them were Sikhs, plus six Isha girls who had their own quarters, and we had to fix up a shower for them, so they had showers.
And what were your duties at the prison?
Still as a medical officer, for a stretcher. Well, a stretcher bearer come medical officer. No stretcher bearing, so you just do normal stretcher bearing medical officer duties.
And was that with the prisoners?
With everybody.
Was there any problems that you came across with the prisoners?
No. I would say they knew they were prisoners, and that was it. They accepted everything.
What medical condition were they in?
The Sikhs were reasonable. The Geisha girls were, I wouldn't say deteriorated, but they were not very clean, so I was saying.
And what about the Japanese? You said there was a few Japanese prisoners?
No, not in the prison. I don't know where they were kept, if any were taken, or once they got around here, and the truce was signed, then I understand what did happen.
What was your reaction to the end of the war?
Very, very pleased. Thankful that I got through reasonably safe. I won't say completely safe, as I said, but I was reasonably safe and I was still alive. That was my biggest reaction.
And what happened next?
We just hung around, let's say, doing the duties. I can't recall anything else happening in Rangoon until the beginning of November, 1945, when they said, gentlemen, well, I don't know why they called it gentlemen, but they did, you are going home. And that was the best words I ever heard. We set out from Rangoon, taken by a tender out to a Lino Lane in Rangoon Harbour, or Bay, whatever it was. The boat was, I can't remember if the Cape Town Castle or the Durban Castle. It was a castle and boat. And we were then transported back to England. We had a very good trip. Instead of taking 8-9 weeks to get out there, it took us 3 weeks to get home through the Bay of Biscay, which was quite a good trip. The dry ship again, as we had going out, but it was more comfortable. You had bunks instead of in other forms of resting. And we arrived at Southampton on November the 29th, 1945. When you arrive at Southampton, you're allowed a 3 minute phone call at home or wherever you want it to ring. Take from there, or hang on, mother actually, her maid answered the phone, all over here was,
Missy, quick.
And that was that. Mother was in tears. But from there, we were put onto a train from Southampton Harbour and transported to Milton Barracks, Gravesend. Arriving in Gravesend at 3 a.m. on whatever day it was, I think it was a Wednesday, I think. And we then lined up and paraded through the town, fixed bayonets, and the band playing at 3 o'clock in the morning. The streets were lined with people because a lot of the 7th Battalion were locals, and the news got around that we were there, and that was that. Well, from there, we were taken to the barracks, or brought to the barracks, given the palias, short palias. So we get our head down for a while. We were there for we got it at 3 o'clock in the morning. I basically got away at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Money and all your kit and heading home. Oh, and railway warrant. Yes.
What was your reaction of your family to see you?
My first visit, I went from Gravesend to see the fiance. That was my first call. Arriving at 6 o'clock on November the 30th, I think it was. And, I won't raise any detail of the reception, which was very good. First thing I was told by a fixed wedding plans. we're getting married in a fortnight's time. And that was that.
When were you demobilised? When were you demobilised?
I was demobilised after the leave. We were sent from Gravesend to he's about 20 miles outside Norwich. Sorry, we sit there as a whole with our own mind clearing. That'll be normal broad, normal kind of I might say we've done a very good job. Could never be really interested in it. But we were given quarter hour of leave every week. Paying our own fares. From there, our team mobilised at Guildford. The women's barracks in Guildford. Can't be named at that one. A suit. Well, the civilian kit was you were looked at by a certain person. Oh yeah, so-and-so, no measurements at all, everything was done by a guy. It fitted you, you were lucky. If it didn't, well, sorry mate, get it over. And that was the end of my career.
Can I ask you one last question? What do you feel like now about having served with the Royal West Kent Regiment at Kohima?
What do I?
What do you feel about having served with the Royal West Kent Regiment at Kohima?
I was rather upset at the onset of my transfer from the Royal Sussex Regiment to the Royal West Kent. But having said that, the friendship of the personnel of the Royal West Kent Regiment was made me very happy, and eventually I didn't have any grudge at all. But initially, it was a very, very bad thought of moving over.